I want to preach to us today, and I entitled it Power for the Hour. I'm going to be reading from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to be reading a few verses 20 through 21. Then I'll be going to the next chapter, chapter 10, in verses 16 through 20. The reason I entitled that, because it's been on my mind all this week, that so many times it seems like God is silent. Everybody ever experienced that? It just seems like God isn't saying anything or God isn't doing anything. But I want you to know today that in the right hour, God always shows up with His power. Amen? And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of His garment. And she said to herself, this was before she touched, this was her probably leaving the house. I heard that Jesus was coming through town. And she told herself, if only I may touch His garment, I shall be made well. Let me just interject a thought here today. God doesn't respond to people who just sit and wait for Him to come by. Amen? When she realized that Jesus was within touching distance, she made the effort. My friend, today, when we make the effort to touch the Lord, God always responds, amen, to that touch. Amen? So she said that if I touch His garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, He said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman, remember, the woman had been sick for how long? It's not a trick question, folks. She had been sick for how long? I know I was, sometimes you're taking tests and I tend to sometimes hurry through things, and so you don't read it carefully, and you find out it was a trick question. You knew the answer, but you read it so fast, this is not a trick question. She was sick for 12 years. Now, if I was quick at math, I would tell you how many days that was, but I'm not quick at math. That was a long time, day after day, get up in the morning, feeling the same sense of sickness. Nothing's changed. She tried every avenue that she could try. She's probably even, being the fact that she was an Israelite, she probably even said her prayers on Sabbath. 12 years. Nothing's changed except for the fact the Bible says she just got worse. But at the end of 10 years, 12 years, not a trick question. At the end of 12 years, the Bible says she decided she was going to try something just a little different. And she reached out her hand and she touched Jesus. And notice what the Bible said. It didn't take her 12 years to get hold. There wasn't a process of this 12 years of things gradually getting better. The Bible says when she tapped into that power, that hour, change happened. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 16. Jesus said, behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. I've seen people who seem to have that backwards. There's wise as doves and harmless as in anyway. Verse 17 says, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to council and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For I will give, it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. I believe the Lord was trying to give us as His people, as the church, a message. That when the time comes, I'll show up. You see, the Spirit of God is unlike any other spirit. You know, there is a spirit world and a spirit dimension that sometimes we forget in our humanness because we live in a very physical world. We see the trees and we see the grass. We see the bills that are laying on the, you know, on the desk. We see things and we interact with things. We interact with the physical. We don't talk to spirits, we talk to people. And there is a spirit world. There is the angels that are emissaries of God who do God's bidding. But then there are those fallen angels and demons who have fallen from grace, but they are spirits that we cannot physically see, but it is a real realm. It is a spirit realm. But the difference between them and God being a spirit is that even though they are spirit and they have abilities that are beyond our abilities, they still have a location. They're either here or they're there. And they, though they have great knowledge, they don't have unlimited knowledge. Though they have great power, they do not have unlimited power. So if a spirit is bothering Brother Ray, that spirit is not bothering me because it's only one place at one time. But the difference about God is, and that it's hard for us to wrap our minds around, is that God has no boundaries. There is absolutely no boundaries to God because the Bible declares unto us that God is a spirit who fills all things. And that all things flow out from Him. He is a spirit like no other. He is a being that has no form. He is a God that is everywhere. In fact, the psalmist said it this way. He says, O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. He says, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have had me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Then David went on to say in 139, where can I go from the presence of the Lord? So though that there are times in which we do not sense the very presence of God, God is always there. So what does it mean when you and I pray, Lord, we want you to show up in our service. We want you to come and bless. And the fact is that God is here before we got here. So what do we mean? We don't mean that we hope that God's Spirit moves into our place, where we're at. What we're asking is, God, please manifest yourself to where we can experience you. Even though we know that your Spirit is everywhere, we want a manifestation of your presence, of your power, and of your grace. Amen. Because wherever you're at, God is already there. Amen. Whatever you're going to experience or whatever you're experiencing now, God already knows it. The Bible declares that God knows things before we even become aware of those things. God sees things that we cannot see. He understands things that we cannot understand. And so when we ask God to, Lord, we want you to come into this service, we're not asking that His presence, but that His manifestation. Because we know that when God manifests Himself, that something happens. Amen. We could go through a church service. Yes, God is here, but if He doesn't manifest Himself in a supernatural way to make His presence aware to us, we could go through a service and enjoy the singing and the fellowship and even enjoy reading the Word, but then go home unchanged. But when God manifests Himself, when God shows up, there is a transformation that takes place. Amen. There is an hour in which God releases His power into our circumstances. Amen. That's why the Bible teaches us, don't be weary in well-doing, because in due time, there is an hour in which God will release His power, amen, into our life. Hallelujah. 12 years is a long time to be sick and just getting sicker. But my friend, today, there was an hour, there was a time, there was a point in which there was a touch and God manifested Himself in a mighty way. So God feels time and space. He knows and sees all things. In fact, I love that chapter because that chapter, David begins to talk about the wonders of creation and the wonders of birth. He talks about that I was formed in a secret place. He's not talking about some corner of the mall. He's talking about in the womb before eyes ever set upon this forming baby that is being formed in the womb, that God sees and He knows. There's nothing that God doesn't know. When we pray, we do not inform God. We communicate with God. Praise the Lord. We never come up with something that surprises God in our prayers. But we come and present our needs to Him, knowing that God said, if we will pray in faith, God will answer prayer. We need to get that faith back into our hearts. Amen. We may not see it today, and we may not see it tomorrow, but when we keep on praying, the Bible says, if you knock, and that word means to keep on knocking, the door shall be open. If you keep on seeking, you will find. Why? Because there is an hour when God said the time is right, and He reveals His power in that hour. Amen? So we look at creation, and a lot of people have really tried to dig deep into Genesis 1, and especially the first few verses, what does it mean, and so forth and so on. You know, there's just a lot of things that God said, oh, you don't need to know that. In fact, if God put everything into a book that He knew, it would be bigger than the universe. So God put things in this book that we needed to know. So what did we need to know? In the beginning, there was God. Amen. Nothing else, there was God. And somehow, however it came about, that there was this chaos that was in what we call our universe. It was black, it was dark, and the waters covered the face of the deep. We don't know how long that was there. But what we do know, the Bible says, and on the first day, God said. And when God said, there was not this struggle of darkness and light. There wasn't a struggle at all. God said, and the Bible says, and there was light. And so when God begins to move and God begins to flow into a circumstance, my friend, today, God moves. And when He does, He always does it suddenly. And we'll find that word so many times in the Word of God, and suddenly. And we think, well, what do you mean suddenly? We've been praying for this for years. But when God moves, when God says the time is right, when God says, I am now going to step into the situation, you'll be surprised how fast things change. Amen. Because all it takes is God to speak. All it takes is for God to touch. Amen. And so God, amen, touched and He spoke and He brought man out of the dust of the earth. But when humanity rebelled against God and turned away from God, we'll find that they became separated, but it did not diminish who and what God is. God was still everywhere. God was still present in everything. So there are times and circumstances in which it doesn't seem like God is present. It just seems like, Lord, we've been praying for this a long time. And the only advice that I could give you is just keep on praying. Amen. Lord, I've been in this circumstance a long time. Lord, I've been walking through this valley for a long time. The only thing that I could tell you is just keep on walking. Amen. Because the Bible bears out the fact that we just keep on walking with God. There is a time in which God reveals His power. For 400 years, Israel had become from a family living in Egypt to a nation that was enslaved. And one day just kind of rolled into the next, and one year rolled into the next. But there came a time in which Moses was walking on the backside of the desert. And there he was just tending sheep. He wasn't thinking about the spectacular. He wasn't thinking about doing miracles. He wasn't thinking about anything other than, I've got to get these sheep to water, and I've got to make sure that they get fed today. And then suddenly the Bible says there was this burning bush, and God spoke to him out of the burning bush. My friend, today things began to change. Because there was an hour of power in which God begins to release, amen, and things change. Praise the Lord. So this nation that had been a slave for 400 years, they just didn't walk out of Egypt. The Bible says they walked out with the treasures of Egypt. Amen. They walked out with their gold and their silver and their raiment and their flower pots. They walked out with everything that Egypt had. Why? Because God said it is time to step into the circumstance. Joseph was in prison, and we know the story of how his brothers had sold him as a slave, and he was sold into Potiphar's house, and he was lied about, and he was thrown in prison, and day after day and year after year he was in prison. But he just kept on believing God. He kept on believing in the dream. He kept on just embracing that God had given me a promise. My friend, today, and there was a day in which a messenger came and says, clean up. You're going to see the Pharaoh. And in a day's time, he went from the prison to the palace. Why? Because God stepped into the situation. Amen. Year after year. Amen. He could have asked God. He could have questioned. And maybe he did at times. Why, God, am I in this prison when you have given me a dream of being used of you? Lord, why am I here? But my friend, he did not give up. The Bible says he just kept his faith in God. He just believed God. He had a good attitude. My friend, today, my advice to each one of us, me included, is when things are not right, keep a good attitude. Because when God steps into the circumstance, amen, things can change. Not just a little bit, I mean big changes. He went from the prison to the palace. He went from the lowest man to the man that was second to the highest man in the whole kingdom. Elijah stood on the mountain and prayed a simple prayer. Israel wouldn't even answer him when he addressed them. He says, whoever's God, if Jehovah's God, the Bible says they didn't answer him a word. Just stared at him. And he prayed a simple prayer. Lord, bring down fire and show these people that you're still God. You know God loves a challenge. He loves a challenge. There's all of Israel. There's 400 prophets of Baal, and there was another 450 prophets. There was a total of 850 prophets that was gathered there against one man. You think, boy, I'm getting nervous. Somebody, young preacher one time told me, says, you know, I get nervous when I get up to preach. I said, yeah, I've been preaching for 30-some years, and I still get nervous when I get up to preach. I get a little nervous about people who don't get nervous when they get up to preach. Because, my friend, we're carrying a message. We're carrying a message. There was this one man that just had faith in God. And he spoke, and God brought about a miracle. Paul and Silas was in prison. They was beaten for a good cause. Sometimes we just lose our faith because we were doing right. We were living right. We was believing God. We was doing everything that we knew to do good. And it seemed like things just get worse. Anybody ever been there? Anybody still there? They was on a mission to let the world know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. They had a dream that told them, come and help us. And so they followed the direction of that dream, and they proclaimed the word of God. A young girl that was a demon-possessed, that was a fortune teller, they delivered from the power of Satan. You would think that people would have been happy, but they weren't. Because I tell you what, bad people use people and abuse people. And our world today is filled with bad people. So they threw him in prison after they had him beaten, and they was beaten and put in prison. They was put in the lowest part of the prison, in the place that was the very worst environment that you could find yourself in, with a promise that tomorrow you're going to go through trial, which could have meant execution. And at midnight, the Bible says they begin to sing and they begin to praise God. The Bible says, and suddenly, the ground began to shake. The shaking of the prison was so violent that the locks on the doors of the prison cells sprung open, to where there was not one prisoner that was locked up because of the shaking of the prison. And out of that came a revival to a city called Philippi. And starting next month, we're going to be studying the letter that Paul wrote to Philippi. It's a powerful, positive letter. A church that sprang out of difficulties, of persecution, of what seemed like the end of the road, but God stepped in. God moved upon the scene. I don't know what you're going through today, and I don't know what's happening in your life, but I do know this. I know that God has not changed. Amen. The Old Testament, which declares that if my people that are called by my name will, then I will, still holds true today. The reason is, because God has not changed. The enemy of our soul has some weapons that he uses very effectively. And some of those weapons are weapons that are called discouragement. Amen. Sometimes we have to battle discouragement, because discouragement will cause us to lose faith. It will cause us to throw up our hands and just say, what's the use? But my friend, today, when we look into the Word of God, we'll find that God worked in many difficult circumstances, but the thing that is noticeable, they did not allow themselves to become discouraged. In fact, one Old Testament prophet said it this way: rejoice not against me, all mine enemies, because even if you cause me to fall, I'm going to rise again. Why? I've got a God that's on my side. Amen. And in a moment of time, God can and will change circumstances. Remember years ago when we was pastoring in Nebraska, there was a teenage boy that had done something his parents told him not to do, and he thought, I'm going to do something to keep from getting punished. And he made a very unwise choice. He took almost a whole bottle of Tylenol, thinking that they could pump my stomach and I'll be fine, but mom and dad will feel sorry for me. But what he did not know was that Tylenol in extreme doses turns to acid in your liver. It will destroy your liver. And most people never live beyond 3 days. In fact, at that time, it was considered the number one suicide for young people in Europe, because once it gets in your system, it cannot be reversed. And in fact, the doctor told the parents that just a month before, a girl had done the same thing that only had half the dose of what he took, and she died. They couldn't save her. And they began to tell the parents exactly the stages he would go through. he'd begin to become lethargic and not being able to stay awake. And he says eventually he'll just fade away. He says by this time, 3 days from now, he'll be gone and there's nothing we can do. He says it's already into his system, it's already in his liver, and there's absolutely nothing that we can do. We prayed. After the doctor left, we went in and we anointed him with oil and we just prayed. Went back to work the next day and kind of monitoring what was going on, and the mother called up frantically. He was going through all the stages that the doctor said he was going to go through. He was becoming lethargic. He was beginning to just kind of lose everything, and he was moving on towards that end. And I just kept telling her, I said, you just got to believe God. You just got to trust God. That's all we can do at times, my friend. That is the only hope. That's all that we can do. So as soon as I got off work on that third day, we got in the car. He lived in another town that was several miles away. We drove as fast as we could. As fast as we could, the Lord understood, to the hospital. Rushed into the emergency, ICU area, and in the ICU they had, the way it was set up, they had a waiting area, and then they had a big blackboard where family members could leave messages to those that were coming. And so we rushed into his room and he wasn't there. We looked around for his parents and they wasn't there. And just to be honest with you, I was starting to lose a little bit of faith, because the last message that we had was that he's fading fast and they don't expect him to live over the next few hours. But then I looked up on the chalkboard, and on the chalkboard there was a message. Pastor Meeks says, we're on the third floor. I thought, there's no way. Third floor, man, God intervened. Amen. We went up to the third floor, walked into the room, and what we found was the boy was bright, he was alert. And the parent says, the doctor said they're going to keep him for another 3 days because it disappeared. There's no damage to his liver. There's no trace of it in the system. They said, we don't know what happened. We're going to keep him 3 days to try to find out what happened. My friend, today we can never, never lose hope. Because there is an hour of power in which God steps in and begins to reveal himself and manifest himself, amen, on our behalf. Whether it's something that we're addicted to, amen, just keep believing God, because God can break those addictions. God can forgive us of every sin, amen, every mistake in our past. God can heal. God can turn circumstances around in our finances, in our jobs. He can turn circumstances around in our families if we just keep trusting God. Amen. Because just in an hour of power, amen, God steps in. Yes, God is everywhere. God hears every prayer that we pray. But my friend, today, he gave us this instruction. He says, just keep on asking. Keep on praying. He said, because I'm going to tell you a story, and I'll close with this story. He says, there was a woman that had a son that was in trouble, and she went to the judge every single day asking for mercy. And he says, the judge did not fear God, did not fear man, didn't care about people. He was a hard judge. He would not be moved. He would not even listen to her pleas. But finally, after this woman just kept up every day, he granted her what she requested. And then Jesus said, if the unjust judge will listen to those, how much more the Lord who loves you will hear you when you cry. How much more will I, that gave my life for you, hear you when you pray? So he said, just keep on praying. Just keep on believing. Keep your faith up. Just trust God. Amen. Because in an hour, in a moment, God reveals his power. Could we stand together today? I don't know what you've been going through and what's happening in your life. What I do know is that we serve a God who knows all things. Story after story of miracles in fact, at the winter fire, story was told of a young boy that was born without even an eardrum, and God created an eardrum as they prayed. You see, we serve a God that there's nothing that would be in the category of impossibilities. There's things that we'd like, and there's things that we wish that we can do, and there's things that maybe we dream about, and there is the possible, and there's the future plans, and we always have a list of things that just seem to be, they're impossible, but it would be nice. But you see, in God's economy, there's no such thing as having a list of things that are impossible. In fact, the things that we can accomplish for ourselves, God says, I'll let you take care of it. Things that we could do and get up and just kind of fix ourselves, God says, I'll let you take care of it. He says, because my specialty, I specialize in things that are impossible. Things that you've tried and tried and it just didn't seem to be able to work. That's where I work. That's where I step in. And that's where I begin to move. And so today, God is wanting you to understand, just keep believing me. Just keep trusting me. Amen. Because in the right time, in the right moment, if you don't lose faith, I step in and everything changes. For 10 to 12 days, they prayed and sought for the promise. But the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And each one of them began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God began to give them utterance. God works in the suddenly. God works in that. But my friend, today, there is a process to get to that sudden moment. But God has a time and God has a purpose. And when we allow God to do it His way, and when we allow God to do it within His time, we discover it was always the right time. It was always the right place. So could we just close our eyes just for a moment today? That way we just kind of keep from distractions and just be honest with God. Is there something in your life, in your mind, in your heart, some circumstance that you're just on the verge of saying, what's the use of praying anymore? It just doesn't seem like God's going to do anything. The Bible teaches us that God hears our prayers. And God knows the timing. He knows the end from the beginning. Could you, before you leave this place today, ask God, God, give me the grace and the faith just to trust you, Lord, because I know that in your time, oh God, you're going to do a mighty work.